50 years ago, it all began. A tense but lonely figure, clad only in perspiration and bicycle clips, stood ready to launch a new era in broadcasting.
Love your bicycle clips.
Thank you. They came with the job.
But you're an announcer.
Well, someone has to pedal the transmitter.
Slowly, he dressed in his ABC announcer's dinner suit.
How does that feel?
Good.
I've been keeping it warm for you.
Hang on. What's this in the pocket? It looks like roast lamb.
It's a dinner suit.
And so, looking resplendent in his ABC talking clothes, he walks down the corridor and rounds the corner to step into a small piece of history.
Bloody cat.
Soon he's outside the studio door, where he pauses to utter the famous password to the ABC doorman.
Wake up!
And as always, it doesn't work. At last, he enters the studio and seats himself on the ABC talking chair.
Bloody cat.
Then he carefully clears his throat. And for the first time, speaks those immortal words that have become synonymous with the ABC.
We regret this break in transmission. Normal service will be resumed as soon as possible.
Across the nation, millions strain their ears to the limits.
Can you hear anything, Jack?
Just a minute. No. What about you, Velda?
Not a sausage, Jack. But geez, me ears are getting strained to the limit.
Back in the studio, our hero had almost finished reading the very first news bulletin when, for no apparent reason, he suddenly did what all ABC announcers have done, eventually. He turned on the microphone. The ABC was on the air.
Hang on, Jack. I think all this ear straining's paying off. Jack!
What?
Will you stop dagging the tractor and listen? The ABC's on the air, spreading hope and enlightenment to the far and dusty corners of this great land, bringing songs and mirth to the silent center, bestowing culture and learning where before there was ignorance and prejudice, and it'd be even better if we had a radio.
But that was 50 years ago, and true to its charter, the ABC blazed new trails through the airwaves. It brought hope to the hopeless,
brains to the brainless,
culture to the couchless,
wit to the witless,
and wire to the wireless.
And today, 50 years later, through the modern miracles of telecommunication satellites and lots of tricky digital stuff, you can now, wherever you are, switch on the ABC and hear...
We regret this break in transmission.
From the Sydney Opera House.
In beautiful Sydney.
Not beautiful Melbourne, but beautiful Sydney.
In honor of the ABC's 50th anniversary, we present...
The Bigger Birthday Party!
Starring Graham Kennedy, Ross Higgins, Kev Goldsby, and Nolene Brown. And now we travel to the dark and mysterious land where the first probing fingers of civilization are getting chopped off. Yes, it's Brisbane.
And from Brisbane comes the startling news that Mr. Bjelke Petersen has rushed through legislation making it illegal to be black in Brisbane.
It's not that I have anything against Aboriginals,
Mr. Bjelke Petersen said today.
It's just that there is a grave danger of our police confusing them with African athletes and shooting the wrong ones.
The Premier then brushed aside the assembled media with a jaunty burst from his machine gun and retired to his bunker.
Later, surviving journalists were given a fuller briefing by the police minister, Mr. Hinds. Speaking from behind the bars of his cage, he said... which no one understood a word of. And although pressed by journalists, Mr. Hinds would not depart from his prepared statement and went back to swing on his tire.
But in a surprise move, Aboriginal leaders appear to have turned the other cheek and called for Mr. Bjelke Petersen to be designated a sacred Aboriginal site.
Turning Joe into a sacred site is a stroke of genius,
said one Aboriginal leader.
Because by this time next week, they'll have fenced him off and gone in with dynamite and bulldozers.
And in what civil defence authorities describe as a disaster of major proportions...
Melbourne.
A man has been arrested for stealing a tram. When asked why, he said...
I didn't have any choice. Someone had pinched all the Commodores.
Meanwhile, speaking from the floor of an empty office in Canberra, Mr. Sir Jim Killen angrily denied that his new cabinet post was essentially minister in charge of nothing.
I'm not minister for nothing,
he shouted.
I'm charging them a bloody fortune.
And reacting to allegations of incompetence in his new post, he screamed...
Rubbish! I'm very good at doing nothing, I must be good, because I'd only been doing it a couple of months and they knighted me.
Still in Canberra, very little's been heard of the Minister for Hollywood, Mr. Andrew Peacock. However, his agent, Sir Swifty McMahon, said in Sydney today...
I believe that since Andrew fell flat on his face, he's been keeping a low profile.
He went on to say that Mr. Peacock is planning a comeback just as soon as he gets his suntan back from the panel beaters.
Meanwhile, opposition leader Hayden faced a continuing storm of controversy over his stand on visiting nuclear warships.
Listen, you rabble of press people, stop trying to browbeat me. Hang on, just a minute. You are press rabble, aren't you? I mean, this isn't the caucus rabble, is it?
No.
Thank God for that, I can speak freely. Now listen, I've made a very clear and definite statement on this nuclear ship business, and that definite statement will never change, much, this morning. And even if it does change, which it won't, well, not much, it will still be definite, I think. Won't it? Oh, I don't know anymore. What do you think? Someone here must know what to do with the bloody things. It's all Bob Hawke's fault. What does he do? He takes over all the glamorous, easy stuff. And what does he give me? He gives me the ships. That's what he gives me.
Well, how are you loving it so far? I wonder, you know, why they don't make films like this anymore. Something magic about silent movies, don't you think? That's why I'm so excited about being able to show it to you on radio. Doesn't it make you want to squeal? Yes? No? Perhaps? Maybe? Couldn't care two hoots? And as always, I agree. I'm so glad we can have these little chats, aren't you? Yes? No? Shut up and get on with the bill? All right, I will. And I know you're going to be truly thrilled as I was this morning, but more of that later. Now, I want to tell you about a wonderful all-new cinema movie flick picture thing. It's an Australian film, but don't let that put you off because this one's designed to make a profit. Now, I don't know about you, and in fact, sometimes I don't know about me either. You too? Yes? No? Perhaps? Shut up and get on with the bill? All right. Now, I know I could be accused of being a bit picky, but have you all noticed Australian cinema movie flicks have one tiny crucial thing in common? Yes, It's Jack Thompson. But in this picture, I'm happy to say, Jack Thompson turns in a performance like no other. We see a totally different Jack Thompson, a Jack Thompson we've never seen before. In fact, it's Mel Gibson. Very briefly, the story concerns a young Australian who has a passion for running, and the scenes where he bounds about the Simpson Desert are just magic. Pure magic. It's so magic, it's magic. Anyway, he teams up with a lovable rogue played by Jack Thompson's character, Mel Gibson. But their youthful mateship is cruelly disrupted by the First World War. They enlist and are sent to the front. They quarrel. And one of their heroes is shot. A simple story, but the definitive Australian picture. It's called Mad Max Shoots Skippy at Gallipoli. Now, I've chosen a clip to show you tonight. For me, it was the most exquisite, bittersweet part of the whole film. It is, in fact, a surprise ending. We join the scene as Skippy is happily bouncing through the shell craters and barbed wire. Mel Gibson enters his tent and finds that his best friend Skippy has eaten his bed. Confused and not a little shaken, he decided to discuss it with the kangaroo.
Hey, Skippy, what you eat me bed for?
I'll give you April Fool.
Oh, no. Oh, Skippy. Oh, Skippy, what have I done? Me old mate, I've shot you. Oh, and look at you now, dead. Oh, what's the point of living without you? Hang on, Skippy, I'm coming
to you. Excuse
me.
Go away. Go away.
Oh, Skippy, me poor dead mate. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Is this Picnic at Hanging Rock?
No.
Oh, is it Storm Boy at Hanging Rock?
No. Go away.
Why have you covered Bondi Beach in barbed wire?
Go away. I'm acting.
You reckon, do you?
Sorry, everyone. Sorry, you'll have to stop all this. Stop that sketch. And you on the drums, stop doing that. It's not clean. I suppose we have to have these musicians. Anyway, I've just been handed a message requesting us to stand by to cross live to Buckingham Palace for the Queen's congratulatory message to the ABC.
Hello, this is ABC Master Control. Are you there, BBC?
Hello, Abby is here.
Oh, g'day, Your Majesty. What's the cricket score?
I'm not the Queen.
All right, then. G'day, mate. What's the cricket score?
Listen, ABC, I don't know the score. I have the Queen standing by.
Oh, sorry. Ask her what the score is.
No. The Majesty wouldn't know what the cricket score is. Now, can we get on? Excuse me. It's 5 for 63. Now, can we do the message?
All right, hang on to your shirt. Stand by all relays, royal message coming up. By the way, Jacko in Perth, Her Majesty reckons it's 5 for 63. If that's anything to go by, you've got to remember she's a pom, you know. Righto, BBC, plug in the Queen.
Her Majesty is seated at the microphone and is waiting on your cue.
Stand by relays, here comes herself. Righto, cue the Queen.
Hello, down there. Is that you, family favourites?
No, no, hang on, Your Majesty. Hold everything, relay. She screwed it up again. Your Majesty?
Yes?
Sorry, Your Majesty, but the ABC craves your royal indulgence. It's not family favourites.
Oh, is it AM? Good morning, Australia.
No, 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 no. Listen, woman. I mean, Your Majesty, please.
Did I do wrong?
No, no, no. You're doing fine. As your royal brain will no doubt recall, you're doing the ABC's 50th anniversary message.
Ah, yes, of course. Ready?
On the count of three, Your Majesty. One, two...
Just a minute.
No.
Charles, Diana, will somebody take the baby, please? He's gumming me tiara to bits. Was that an emerald he just swallowed? Come on, Charles, I'm talking to the Empire. Thank you. You're not king yet, you know.
How's it going, Your Majesty?
Ready. On the count of three, was it?
Yeah.
There's a ruby missing as well.
One.
Will somebody take the rust
Two.
Thank you, Diana.
Three.
Hello, Donna. This is the Queen. On this auspicious occasion, 50 years ago... Oh, bother.
What?
Bovens out. Oh, dear, even the Indians are beating us now.
Botham's truth. How'd he get out?
Just a minute, I can't do everything. I'm watching the slow-mo replay.
Don't go away, Relay. She reckons Botham's out. Details to follow. How's the replay going, Your Majesty?
Maiden Lowell's running in from the scoreboard end. Diana, don't throw that out. There's probably an emerald in there. Yes, dear, we'll get the footman to sift it later. LBW, rubbish! He's not out. Well, that's Dickie Bird scratched off the honours list.
Tape still rolling, Your Majesty.
Oh, sorry. Ready when you are. Give me the cue.
Righto. Cue the Queen.
Hello, down there. This is the Queen. On this auspicious day, 50 years ago, the Australian Broadcasting Commission started its service with these immortal words. Oh. Bother, 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 bother. We regret this break in transmission. Normal service will be resumed as soon as possible. Oh, all right then. Give him the tiara.
Now we cross to the nation's capital, Nareen, where we find the PM deeply involved with affairs of state.
Malcolm! Hoo-wee! Malcolm! Howdy! Where are you?
Oh, God, it's her again.
Where are you?
Over here, Tammy.
Where?
Here, where I've been all day, in me gumboots.
Oh, there you are. Malcolm, what's happened to you? You look positively grotesque. What are you doing?
I'm smiling.
You said it gives you cancer.
I'll have to take that risk. There's an election coming up.
How's it going?
I've been practicing by smiling at the sheep. I've almost got the hang of it.
So you have, dear. Only three have died of fright.
It's not that bad, Tammy. Look.
Make that four.
Damn.
Malcolm, I think you should put that smile away before someone gets hurt. Now, I want to talk to you about something.
They all say I'm not human, you know, but I am. You know I'm human, don't you, Tammy?
Now, I want to talk to you about something.
Damn it, Tammy. Will no one listen to me? I am human, I tell you. I walk. See? I breathe. See? I smile.
Oh, five! Five out of five! Good smiling, Malcolm!
But, Tammy, you've got to understand I'm still the boyish, fun-loving Easter Island statue that you married.
Are you, Malcolm? I don't think so. You've changed. Remember the days when we used to go tearing madly round the property in the ute? How long is it since we squashed a kangaroo together?
I still have feelings like everyone else.
You don't say you love me anymore. In fact, you haven't said it since 1963.
I'm a warm, sensitive man, Tammy.
It's a long time since 1963.
All right. I love you. And I'll make that retrospective.
Since its inception, the ABC has been faced with many grave threats to its existence.
Like the day the jug element burnt out.
And the day someone took the news home to show his nana over the weekend. And then left it on the train.
But no threat has been so challenging as the savage budget cutbacks which have forced drastic changes to all ABC shows.
A big country will now be called a block of land.
Towards 2000 will become towards lunchtime.
Four Corners will become a triangle.
And Weekend Magazine will only be half as boring.
Nationwide hostess Geraldine Doog will be cut back to Geraldine Dog.
And Richard Carlton will be shortened to Billy McMahon.
But perhaps the most affected will be the man who took us under his hat and taught us to love the great outdoors. Lack of funds means that In the Wild will now become... In the Bedroom with Harry Butler.